Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
no es lo mismo la papaya tapatía que tía tápate la papaya.
Hello, hello, hello.
Que show, que show, que show.
How are you, Babelito?
I'm doing good, you know, acabando de tragarse.
How convincing.
Mm-hmm.
What did we eat today? What did you bring me?
We were fancy fish.
Fancy fish? Okay, Shangelo, what did we have?
We had sushi.
Uh-huh.
Cada madre.
Yeah.
We had something with ponzu sauce. And some stuffed jalapenos. And
that was the fakest ass sushi you could ever have brought me.
It's by your house. It's your fault.
It's not my fault.
It's your neighborhood.
You could have bought anything, girl.
I thought about tacos and my mom is like, where are you going to go get tacos? I'm like, what do you assume I'm going to go get tacos? I wanted to be fancy, but I fell. That's because I got the 50% off sushi. So
That was my first mistake.
¿Y tú cómo estás?
I'm great. I am just here living my truth.
Como siempre.
Probably one of the busiest weeks of my life. You know, I've been saying that for the past.
I was gonna say.
Like 6 months. Like every fucking week is the busiest week. But, you know, I just got back from traveling. I was installing work in Ireland.
Oh my God. How was that?
In Belfast. It was wonderful. You know what? Let me talk about that for 1 second.
Let's talk about it.
I didn't know. Okay, so some of you might have seen on my Instagram already. I went to Belfast and I was part of this exhibition called Shonky, The Aesthetics of Awkwardness.
Shonky? What does Shonky mean?
Shonky's like awkward, like janky.
Like kitschy.
Shoddy. But it's also like the work is like about the material and it's fragile but not. Homemade, slapdash, so it means a lot of different things.
A lot of things.
So it's the first time that I've been curated into a show. Well, one of the first times, not because of like my location or like my biography.
Or your identity.
Or my identity. It was just because of the way that my artwork looks.
How refreshing is that?
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know we kind of sound like art snobs right now, but guess what, Mimi? We are. So, shout out to John Walter. He curated the show, and I such a weird mix of people that I absolutely loved. I was kind of like weirded, like I didn't know what to expect because I never showed in the UK mm-hmm. before or overseas anywhere. So
that's just crazy. You're an international artist, man.
Mm-hmm. Say it again.
Cuídate.
But I have never been like less stressed out installing anything. It was just like everybody had their shit together. Everybody had everything ready for me. Mm-hmm. They were treating me like I was like a famous artist there. And everybody...
That's how it should be.
I know. And everybody... there was like no racist comments made the entire time I was there. Because I was waiting for it.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah.
Because even in museums here in the United States, you were there for some of it, girl.
Yes, man.
You get microaggressions from people that work at the museums and just like, I got none of it. I felt like...
You're like, something's wrong.
Something's gonna go wrong. There was a hurricane that passed by Belfast. Maybe not. But, you know, we had a nice day off because of it.
Yeah.
But I had a great time. I'm back here and now I'm making a bunch of stuff for an art fair in Miami. And then this week, at the end of the week... I'm doing a bunch of stuff for the Neon Museum.
Fiesta.
Yeah, so there's going to be a family fiesta on Saturday, October 28th.
Uh-huh.
Okay. From 1 to 4, if you guys want to join me. So I have to make some sculptures for that.
We'll be there eating, what, carne asada or cupcakes?
I don't know. Whatever mamada that they have for us.
I wanted to add to what you just said about
what?
The inclusion of your art into this art spaces without being you were chosen not as a Latino artist, you were chosen as an artist.
Yeah.
And that was one of the discussions we had in class, because there was an article I have them read about an exhibition from 1988.
What class are you talking about?
Latin American Contemporary Art.
You teach that at UNLV.
Yes. Okay. So there was an exhibition of Latin American art. I forgot where it was in the United States. But one of the complaints was that there's always this pan Latino thing, like everybody's supposed to be under the same umbrella.
Yeah,
it's always about identity.
Yeah,
so we read that on a Thursday, and Friday morning we all went to LA to go see some exhibitions, and that's what I told them.
Oh yeah,
we went to the Hammer Museum to see a Radical Women show. Bitch, that yeah. show is amazing. Cool. It's so good. So one of the things I told them, I said, check for that. Check to see if the curators have changed the way that they talk about Latino artists. And it was refreshing. It was refreshing that these artists were exhibited as artists. They were not exhibited as Latino artists, even though the whole entire program of Pacific Standard Time, which is a program that connects California design and aesthetics with Latin America. And there's like 70 different exhibitions in Southern California. It's all about Latin America, but not under that blanket.
Yeah.
So by the time we coming back, I felt refreshed. I was like, I saw like four exhibitions about Latin America, and it wasn't like that. It wasn't about identity and me. Like, it was about art. It was about art.
Yeah.
And that was so refreshing. So I totally relate what you were saying.
What else did you do in LA?
I visited that show.
Uh-huh.
We ate. We catered food. Guess from where, Mimi? Guess from where?
Galaguetza.
Yes! Oh my God. We were eating mole in the, like, in the, ¿cómo se llama? En el patio de LACMA.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it was so good. But we saw an exhibition in LACMA. It's called Found in Translation, Designing California and Mexico. It blew my mind. It was, you thought I was going to say blew my head.
Yeah, because you always say it wrong. Good job.
I've been practicing in my head.
Wow.
It just blew my mind, because you know how the exhibitions, the tour, shout out to the curators of the show who gave us a not 1 hour tour to our class. They started the tour by saying, let's talk about how design in the United States has erased Mexico. Like right
away.
Yes. And she went like decade by decade, ending with the Olympic Games of 68. It was amazing, amazing, amazing. Again, thank you everybody in LACMA and also at the Hammer that they just gave us an awesome experience.
I really want to see that design show at LACMA.
We got to go. We got to go.
We're going to go. Well, we're going soon in November and then in December again to LA. So
yes.
Ooh. We're coming. Okay, so we're going to rewind a little bit, and before I went to Ireland, I was actually in Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. and we met a lot of our listeners out there. I hung out with a bunch of them. I mean, by the end of my trip, I had a posse of Latinos Who Lunch listeners.
I saw an Instagram girl.
It was really fun, and I miss everybody in Austin, Texas. Shout out to them. but one of the first weeks that I was in Texas, I also went to Dallas. Because in Dallas, that's where some of our favorite Latinx podcasts are. One of our mutual favorites is, of course, CYC podcast, Cabronas y Chingonas.
Girl, let me tell you.
Tell me.
I've been having not so good of a past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And they always put me in a good mood. You know what it is?
What it is?
You want me to talk about it?
What it is?
Cabronas y Chingonas are so political and subversive without them. I don't think they realize how amazing it is, because they are reversing the formula. They always talk about gay films and they reject everything else. And that's just who they are. But by doing that, they're actually doing such a hardcore political statement. And every time they like throw shade to straight movies, I'm like, yes, it's so good. So good.
I also met with the Colores Radio. So we all went to dinner, and then after dinner, we all hung out for a little while. Mm-hmm. And first, I talked to the folks at The Colores Radio, so you're going to hear that.
I love that podcast.
Right.
So much.
Now.
Right. Here we go.
Round three.
Ooh, round three. This feels like the first episodes of Latinos Who Lunch. Okay. All right, let's see. Okay. excuse me.
Expose me, huh?
Really?
Shit, we all hit that team.
All right, here we are. Stop. Hi, Latinos Who Lunch. Oh, sorry. Hi, Latinos Who Lunch listeners. It's Favi Fav, and I'm in beautiful Dallas, Texas, hanging out with some of the coolest Latinx podcasts. Support Brown Podcast. We're here with CYC Podcast. Say hi.
What's poppin'? Yo, yo.
And, of course, De Colores Radio. Say hi, De Colores.
Hello.
What up? What up?
What's up? What's up?
Okay. De Colores Radio. Tell me a little bit about you guys.
We are a, obviously, Dallas-based podcast. We focus a lot on pop culture, politics, art. We do interviews with local artists and beyond. And we just like to be conscious but have a good time.
Yes.
And so, yeah.
I love your show. We've Thank given you guys some shout-outs on Latinos Who Lunch.
We love you. We and gave you shout-outs, too, because we love y'all,
I know.
Too.
Thank you so much.
Like, but I know.
And we are here in beautiful Oak Cliff, California.
Calamita, mi sabes?
You know what? It's your fault. No. Because you bought me a margarita
Look,
at dinner.
I wanted to treat him right in Dallas, Texas. I had to make sure he had a marg.
Okay, but here.
Okay.
State
focus,
your name.
Focus.
State your name. Tell the people. Who are you?
My name is Eva Arreguin. I'm the host of De Colores Radio. And this is...
Rafa, the co-host. What's good? Brat. Mama, we made it!
We're on Latinos Who Lunch. It's a big moment for
us.
Calmense.
Calmense, por favor.
And this is Pat, one of the producers of De Colores Radio. My voice... I don't know what happened. Girl. I got too excited with those margaritas, too.
So, Maite from CYC Podcast was taking me around, and she's like, all right, I'm going to show you where the real hood is at.
Yes.
This is, you're going to love this place. We're going down Jefferson, uh-huh. And then we went to Oak Cliff Cultural Center,
yes,
and you guys
that's
are...
Where we're based out of. We're okay. based out of the Cultural Center, which is a center that has a lot of arts activities, performances, art galleries, and luckily we're the home podcast there, so we have a lot of fun there.
Awesome. All right, does anybody else want to say anything?
No, I hope that margarita was really good. I hope Dallas is treating you right.
I hope it is too. You better come back. We definitely love having you here. We're grateful you came and visited.
I will definitely be back. The bugs here are after me.
The bugs in Texas, okay?
Well, okay. I was sitting at dinner with, first of all, my whole body is covered in mosquito bites. Thank you, Austin,
a warm
Texas.
Welcome.
Yes. And then I came up to Dallas and Maita was like, oh, I feel a bite. Are you getting bit by bugs right now? And right when she was saying that, a wasp flew down, and De Colores is
you
my witness.
You look nice and sweet. That's what happened.
Oh, you know I'm rotted.
You look good. You look good.
That is a lie. And a wasp bit me, so I have a huge welt on my arm right now. But anyways, De Colores, thank you so much.
Thank
it was
you.
So
we're
nice.
So glad
meeting.
You came to visit. We can't wait for you to come back.
Yeah, so nice meeting. And we're gonna do a full episode one
we
of these
will.
Days.
We'll make it happen for sure. Thank yeah. you for coming. Hello, Latinos Who Lunch listeners. Hope you can listen to De Colores Radio.
Say bye, Pat.
Peace out, y'all.
We love you, everyone.
Wow, De Colores. I haven't met them. Can't wait.
Well, this is a good opportunity to talk about Podcasterio Fest.
Yes.
Because they're going to be there, right?
Together with so many other different podcasts. Podcasterio Fest is an adventure of Café con Pam, Latinos Who Lunch, and Nos Vemos en el Swap Meet. And we put together this event with almost, 15, 16 different podcasts. We're going to have panel discussions, and all is going to take place at Plaza de la Cultura in downtown LA on November 19 from 1 to 6 p.m. I can't wait. And that is presented by Molcajete Dominguero, which is a monthly market where that brings together over 70 Latinx vendors. So don't forget it, November 19th. We're going to have a limited amount of tickets available for free, and that's going to be a register option. So check out for this Friday, meaning tomorrow, and go to Podcasterio Fest on Instagram, and you're going to get the details of how to register and get your free tickets.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good to get the gang together again.
Everybody, Radio Menea is coming back.
Oh my gosh. So yes. Speaking of Radio Menea, the other person that I talked to in Dallas is mm-hmm. Yvonne Marquez, mm-hmm. who writes for Autostraddle, which nice. Is a, well, here, just listen to me and Yvonne talk about it.
Let's do it.
Okay, we're still on the streets of Dallas, and I ran into... the one, the only, Yvonne Marquez. How are you?
I'm doing great. It was really nice to meet you today.
I know. Okay, so tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. What do you do? I was going to do an impression of Arnold Schwarzenegger right now. I don't know what I'm thinking. Who is your daddy and what does he do? I don't know. Okay, what do you do?
I'm a senior editor at Autostraddle. It's a queer women's website. And I did a list not too long ago of queer and feminist Latinx podcasts. And you were on it.
Shout out to you.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for giving us. Those lists are so important because when anybody Googles Latinx podcasts, queer feminist podcasts, that's going to come up. And we've gotten so many listeners already from that list. So, okay, Yvonne, let's talk a little bit about podcasts. Do you listen to a lot of podcasts?
Now I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's been like an influx of podcasts in the last couple of years. What do you think about that?
I think this is true, specifically with Latinx podcasts or like more. I don't want to say minority podcasts. I was going to say that, but I was just like, no,
yeah.
They're like badass podcasts. And it's like more giving voice to people who haven't really been in those environments. Because, you know, like, I don't know, it's just expanding and growing all
yeah.
the time.
And let's talk about what I like to call it, the gateway podcast. What was mm-hmm. your gateway podcast to discover other podcasts in this Latinx world?
It was Radio Menea.
Yes, shout out to Radio Menea.
Yeah, it was really a fun podcast, and it led to finding your podcast, Cabronas
yes.
y Chingonas.
Yes,
and just. it's like one of those things. It's like I find one and then it leads me to another one, leads me to another one. So, but it started with Radio Menea.
Well, Yvonne, I'm so glad I got to meet you because, I mean, the internet is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just meeting strangers from the internet now is, like, something I do on a regular basis.
I know. It's so amazing. I mean, that's my life, too. Like, I meet random people all the time that I talk to on the internet all the time, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's great. And I'm glad you're doing the work that you're doing and, you know, bringing Latinxes together.
Hey. Right back at you.
Yeah.
Okay. Group Thank hug. You. Come here, podcast. Group hug, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh. Sophie, shout out to you for taking her. I always have a token white. Come here. Come here, Sophie.
Oh.
Okay.
You know what? You know what?
What?
Shout out to you, because everywhere you go,
yes,
you bring all this Latinx podcast together. You did it in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. you do it in LA, mm-hmm. and you do it in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody recognizes that, and it's a beautiful thing. Like, it's
awesome.
I just
love it. It's so easy. You just say, hey, I'm here. Let's go eat.
I know it's easy, but not everybody has the la iniciativa, you know, to do this thing.
True,
so,
true.
Shout out a usted.
If you haven't heard the Radio Menea with Yvonne in it yet, check it out. It's a pretty great episode. It's about Mexico and like the border. She's on that episode.
It's a good episode.
Yeah.
I listen to it. Yes.
Yeah. So after that, we just hung out for a little while and it was dark and we tried to take pictures, but it was hard. But anyways, it was so nice meeting all of them. Then I went back to Maite's house of Cabronas y Chingonas. And Cynthia, or Fried Papita is her mm-hmm. internet name. We all went back and I recorded a whole interview with the podcast. And
yes!
We were missing you the whole time
oh
because really, you're their fave.
Because they know I love them.
I love them too, though.
Love them.
You act like I don't care about them.
No, you do. But I'm like, oh my God, you got to listen to this podcast. It's so good.
But I'm going to take a little moment here and just thank Maite because she was the best host. I actually spent the night at her house. And when I got there, because I drove up from Austin.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're putting yourself out there. That's awesome.
She's like, what do you want to do? I think, you know, she really wanted to host, be a good host. Mm-hmm. So she was like, we can go to the art museum. We can do this. We can do that. And I just looked at her and I was like, girl, can we just go to Target or something? Like, just have it. She's like, oh, okay. So we just like had a regular ass day.
Nice.
We went to Target. We went to Starbucks in the Target, and then we went to this used bookstore in Dallas that was awesome, and just like looked through all the comics because she's a fucking nerd and I love it.
That's awesome.
And then we met up with the rest of the crew for dinner, which was really nice.
Let me guess why you bought a Target.
What did I buy?
You bought skeleton t-shirts.
Yes. And Shout out to Maite because I had given up. I couldn't find them and she found it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, so now let's get a little transition music and we're going to take you to Maite's living room of the CYC Cabronas y Chingonas podcast. That's the commercial music. Oh, okay, you got to play like different like, you know, like.
Okay.
Okay, we're here. You're on Latinos Who Lunch, ladies.
Hey, what's poppin'? What up, Fabi? What up? I see you.
State your name, fool.
State your name, fool.
No, he means to state your name.
No, I know. No, I was just like, I like that. I am your favorite cabrona. What's up? I'm Fried Papita. Or just whatever you want to call me, actually.
And you are?
I am Maite from Cabronas y Chingonas.
Okay.
I'm the chingona, obviously.
So you're the chingona.
Mm-hmm. I'm the cabrona.
Oh. Mm-hmm. What is the distinction?
The distinction. I'm probably more of an asshole than Maite is, to be honest.
Even though I come off as the asshole.
Yeah, she's actually probably nicer than me.
There's actually a backstory to our both cabrona and chingonanas.
Yeah.
Yeah? What's the backstory?
Well, she came up with the name, and then I agreed to it for a reason, so I'm going to let her start.
Yes. Well, the reason I came up with cabronas y chingonas was because, like, I grew up being called a cabrona. Like, that's just straight up, like, a household pet name for me. Like,
pet name?
No, I'm dead serious. Like, I didn't know cabrona had, like, a negative connotation until, like, I went out of my house. I've been called a cabrona since I was, like, 4.
Oh, I understand.
And it's still what they call me to this day.
I knew that there was a negative connotation on that.
I didn't. I honestly thought it was a term of endearment. My dad used to always call me cabrona, and I was like, thanks, Dad. Love you, too. Love you, puppy. You know, like.
Oh.
And you?
Well, whenever you pitched the name to me, I liked it just because it was badass. It was basically, like, to me, it read, like, bad bitches, you know?
Yeah.
But the reason that we were okay with you being cabrona and me being chingona is because I had my very embarrassing, like, teenage squad everybody, we're like, as a total, like, we were all called Los Desmadrosos. Embarrassing as fuck. And then we each had, like, individual names, and mine was La Chingona.
Awesome.
So
that's why we were born for these names.
Yeah.
So we had to.
So you're kind of like reclaiming cabrona.
Oh yeah,
like, as a positive.
Yeah, like no one likes that. I'm like, f that. Like,
and chingona's been like cool.
For it's always been cool. Yeah, like they listen to us because it says chingona. Like cabronas, they're not really like. They're like, yeah. I guess
everybody's like, you guys are such chingonas, and I'm like, ero cabrona.
No, I'm okay with it. Like, I'm reclaiming that fucking word.
When my mom like saw our stickers, she's like, this should be mine because I'm the real chingona.
I love it. Is it, like, don't you love the like visceral reaction that people have to it, the name? Like, they're like, yes, I fucking love that name. And I'm like, yeah, bitch, yeah.
Yeah, we've had some good responses there.
So what inspired you two to start a podcast?
Listening to y'all.
Oh, for
like,
real?
Like, dead serious, listening to y'all.
That's what inspired her to do it, yeah.
Yeah.
I luckily got introduced to you guys after we made that decision.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But the reason that I wanted to do it was because it was, like, all I talked about in my daily life, and none of my friends were interested in it. They were like, can you shut the fuck up now?
I think we were, like, the only people we knew that were interested in queer, like, so TV and movies.
I'd go on Twitter and talk to you, basically, about anything I was interested in at that moment. It was like, have you seen this movie? Yes. And then discuss it for, like, way too long in 140 characters.
Yes. All we did was tweet each other and, like, talk about shit.
Yeah. So I feel like there's a void, right? Mm-hmm. And because there was really no queer...
Plus the POC part. Yeah.
Queer, Latinx POC, mm-hmm. like, point of view podcast about, like...
Media.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the void you guys are filling. Mm-hmm. What other voids are you filling?
All of them, and other people. And no, not other people. No.
Literally none.
No. I have a girlfriend.
Okay.
No one, no.
Okay. Well, let's rewind. And okay. If you guys don't already, you guys already know, if you listen to their show, it gets very real, very candid conversations. And that's what I like about you guys. It's just like you're listening to friends talk, which is so nice and refreshing after like all the bullshit that you listen to all week at work or wherever you are, you know, or a lot of podcasts that take themselves so seriously, you know. It's nice to just kind of hang out with your friends, and that's what I feel like your show is. Thank like you. Yeah,
I'm so glad to hear that.
That's how it is. That's totally
so y'all's podcast feel for me. Like, honestly, I take a break from like the straights.
How did you, speaking of, mm-hmm. how did you guys meet?
Twitter.
Yeah, really?
It's just, mm-hmm. it's weird. Like,
oh, do I want to tell my embarrassing story of how I found
it's one of our first episodes where it's like stalker exposed.
Yes. Yeah, I stalked Maite. Yeah, someone retweeted you that I barely knew, but her at name at back in the day was Queer Bait.
So, oh yeah, and you stopped using that Twitter name.
It's
huh?
still there, the whole account.
She's problematic and drunk on that one, but that one's the best one.
I was just drunk tweeting all the time.
I know, I loved it. That's when we would tweet each other. We'd be out at the same times, like, yeah. So
wait, so then when did you meet in real life?
Last year at Pride.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was an accident. Less than a year ago?
Less than a year ago.
Yeah.
Oh my.
But we've been talking for like 5 years.
On the internet.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like I don't meet strangers, I promise. Except for you, Abby.
Isn't that crazy? We were all strangers just a few hours ago.
And now. Yeah.
And now we're best buddies.
But I mean, yeah. we've listened to hours of each other's voices.
That's a nice thing that I've realized meeting podcasters is like we all kind of know each other from. So then when we meet, like the bullshit.
It's kind of comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to ask that many questions. I mean, I'm asking you a lot of questions now because maybe some people.
For someone else.
Yeah. maybe some of our listeners don't know you guys as well as we do, but yeah, less than a year. So you guys started this podcast. You guys are, what episode are you on right now?
I think we're on, we have a few recorded, but released, we have 11 out, and it'll be, our 12th will be out this Thursday. And by the time this comes out, I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be the end of the world already.
Yeah. It'll be probably.
The whole world will be burning up.
Yeah. Might die in Peru. We'll
oh see. My gosh.
You better not. Bring me back a llama.
A what?
A llama.
I'm not sure I can do that.
Yes, you can.
Si se puede.
Si se puede. Turn it into a backpack.
Yeah.
Just bet.
Throw the legs over your shoulders. Just climb. Let's do it.
Okay, so let's get into you individually because I know you guys both have separate lives and kind jobs. Of. And I know that Maite, you just quit your day job and you're going to go on an adventure. Tell me a little about that.
So, yeah, I mean, this is like not a random thing. Like, I planned to leave my job around this time at least a year ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've basically just been, like, working this 9-to-5. It was a good job for somebody that's, like, okay with settling down or whatever. It was a good job, and I learned a lot, and I have a skill, but I was definitely not happy with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I planned with a close friend of mine a, like, decently long trip to Peru because I've always wanted to like leave the continent and so I was like, okay, so here's what I'm gonna do. Like, I'm just gonna quit my job and go to Peru. So yeah, we're going to Peru like this Saturday and we're gonna be there for a good portion of this month.
Oh my god.
Yeah
that's so soon.
It is. So we're gonna go there, I'm gonna come back and we have a few things to do, and then hopefully I'm going to get to go to Louisiana, and then the big fucking move. Oh, I'm going to go to Mexico too at some point. And then after I'm done with all this fucking traveling that I know I'm going to love, but I'm already frustrated.
Yeah.
But then I'm going to move to LA, which is going to be like...
To pursue her dreams.
To pursue my dreams. Yeah. So I went to film school and I studied screenwriting and mm-hmm. I loved it. And I can't imagine myself doing anything else for the rest of my life. So I'm going to go give it a shot. I'm going to go give it a shot.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
That's going to be awesome. Great.
It's worth it. You should do it just for that. Fuck it.
Yeah.
You can look back on your life and be like, I don't regret shit.
Yeah. That's the one thing. Like, even if I fail, like...
You're not going to regret that shit.
Yeah.
Well, you're taking that step and you're actually going there. So, like, you can't say you didn't try. You know what right, I mean? Right.
Yeah.
You're doing it.
If I stay here, I know I'll be miserable.
Yeah. Okay, FP, Fried Papita.
What up?
What's your story, girl?
Oh, I ain't got no story.
What's your story, Fried Papita?
I ain't got no story.
Yeah, she does. Come on.
Do I? I can't. I'm the boring one. I work out.
Okay.
She knows karate.
Okay. Oh, I'm working on my black belt, so yeah. We'll see where that goes. But I don't want to be a black belt in Texas. that's not right.
Well, let's talk about that. You guys are both from Texas. Are you both originally, are you from Dallas?
Mm-hmm. Born and raised Oak Cliff. Hey, shout out Oak Cliff.
Okay.
Everybody in the hood. Mm-hmm. I love y'all.
Gentrification, what's up?
Well, not on my side. No, yeah. On my side, for real, it's not going to get gentrified ever.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I live like in the Bronx of like, if Dallas was New York.
Yeah.
Mine, like the hood, I live in like the Bronx. Like,
oh,
or
my gosh.
Yeah.
Like,
it has the most character.
We got good baked potatoes, we got good barbecue, and we got gunshots every weekend, but it's okay.
And she said she doesn't have a story. Come on.
I know.
Look, growing up in the hood, you see some things. So, like, we've all seen something. I'm just trying to. I really just wanted to create something for people so maybe they could bounce off of it and create something else. Like,
yeah.
You know, I just want a space to create a safe space for queer people. And from there, people can take that and make another safe space. Because for me, I wasn't meeting a lot of queer people.
Yeah.
In general, like, Maite. And most of my friends are straight just because, like, I'm introverted and I don't necessarily like to be in the spotlight when I go out. Like,
you're introverted?
Yes.
Oh my god,
I know,
it don't seem like
it really doesn't.
Oh yes, I am. Like, I'm shy.
That means a lot, because that means you're comfortable around us.
Like, I don't even go out. Like, yeah, I go out twice a week with the same people because I'm not trying to be out here with no folks. But like, because like Crystal says, after 5 p.m I ain't fucking with y'all. Okay. When it gets dark, I go in my house because I ain't fucking with y'all. So no, I'm dead serious, because Mike has been to my house when it's late. You get why.
You know, I was drunk as shit, so honestly, I wasn't scared.
It's, yeah.
So. You live like 5 minutes away from me, so.
And it's very different.
In 5 minutes makes a difference, but I mean.
Make a difference.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I might get my master's, might not. I'm really thinking about what I want to do.
But what is your bachelor's in?
Political science.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, useless. It's an art degree.
No, I mean, like, you could say the same thing about mine.
Too, girl. I know.
You could say the same thing about many degrees, but honestly, I think it still helps you. It's kind of like what I'm doing, going to LA. Like, you would have regretted not getting that degree.
No,
at least I would have.
No, I don't regret learning what I learned, but how useful I can be to society, I'm still trying to figure out.
So yeah, you are being super useful, cabrona y chingona.
Hello. All right. Okay. All right. We're
uplifting creators. Honestly, like, it's underrated. I think it's amazing. Like, Fabi's an amazing artist, and people that uplift him are great. People that uplift, you know, writers are great.
Creating visibility for queer people, for people of color, is something I was looking for like my whole life.
So yeah,
being like doing this podcast and listening to y'all and listening to like The Read or anything with people of color and queer people, I'm about it. Like,
okay, let's do it. Let's give some shout outs. Let's shout out our favorite queer or POC or queer POC media out here right now. What is some of the your favorite stuff that you're watching right now?
Oh, okay. Watching, Maita?
Watching, well, super, or super, listening
super
to?
Yeah, like super, super current.
Yeah.
For me has been The Bold Type on Freeform because they have like POCs and they have queer POCs.
The Bold Type?
The Bold Type.
Mm-hmm. Bold Type.
Yeah, that show, and it hasn't gotten renewed for a second season, but that is just like super current. I'm not saying it's like the most important, but it's definitely doing something that nobody else
has
done.
What is that show about?
It's about like three women who are best friends. And you know how like normally in shows, like they have these women like fighting and being catty and stealing each other's boyfriend.
No, these bitches
bullshit.
Like each other.
They love each other and they uplift each other. And one of them is a woman of color who's questioning her sexuality and then ends up with a Muslim lesbian woman who's proud of it. Who's a photographer. You know what I mean? Like,
super lit.
They make these like well-rounded characters and it's like goals for me.
Awesome.
No, yeah. I'm trying to think of like what I'm doing other than The Bold Type. I just watch like every queer movie in the world.
Ooh, what are some of your faves?
Oh my god, too many. Circumstance, for sure. Favorite
for sure
movie ever.
We talk about that.
Okay, tell me a little bit about it.
Two queer Muslim women in love in like Iran. It's
in the middle of Iran, like during a crazy
is it on Netflix?
No, it's only like on Amazon. Like, this is another thing.
I have it saved on my computer. I can send you the file. Yeah,
thank you.
She's gonna send it.
it's in there.
Yeah.
Circumstance. What else am I fucking with lately? Like movies.
Podcast.
One day at a time. One day at a time, girl.
That's an amazing. I met the executive producer, and that woman is the kind. Gloria Kellett, just such an amazing woman. She got a deal, and she's going to do more immigrant Latino family shows. other than just one day really? At a time. Yeah, she's got a deal.
Is she gonna like do something with
Did it get picked up for a second season?
Yes.
On Netflix? It's,
yes. They're doing the final taping like this weekend or something.
Yeah, they're just fishing
out. With all the cast, the same cast?
Same cast.
Okay.
They added Mosby from fucking Sweet Life of Zack and Cody or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I saw...
Okay, wait. Mm-hmm. For listeners out, no. I think we talked about One Day at a Time on one of our episodes, but we didn't really get into it. And I've seen the show...
Did you finish it?
I watched it twice.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yes. And I must admit, I was hating on it the first time I watched it because of the obvious things that it was criticized for.
Yeah.
But it's a remake of the old show, One Day at a Time, this time with a twist because it's a Latinx Cuban family, right?
Cuban family.
It's a Cuban family. Are they in L.A.?
They're like in a suburb of L.A., right?
It's in L.A.
Boyle Heights.
And the mom's a veteran. She works in the medical industry. And it's kind of the same setup. She has a daughter and a kid, and then the mother moves in, who's a grandma.
Or she just like automatically like lives with them.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. Oh, she automatically, yeah. And she's like a spicy Latina mom, you know, so, or the grandma.
She was like a singer like in the past, and she actually, like in the show.
Oh, in the show.
And
yeah.
She's played by Rita Moreno.
Rita Moreno, who's like iconic, but she's, you know, she is Puerto Rican.
She's
yeah.
a goat.
And really, she's very American.
Yeah, and then
Everyone's Puerto Rican.
I was really I was annoyed by the accent,
yeah,
because it was like so extra. But I think by like the third or fourth episode,
it chilled out
or we got used to it, one or the other. I think
you chilled out. It was like really a little bad. The first two episodes I was like, okay. Oof. Like no one's abuela is that extra. Like
for me, like honestly, like it was just I hadn't seen this kind of setup in so long. I hadn't seen a Latino family with like a matriarch for so long that I didn't give a damn, dude. Like I just watched that shit.
Yeah. I think, okay, so this is what I want to get into with you guys. The one thing that I didn't like about the show that was never kind of resolved was this like vilification or villain and vanilla. What do you have?
No, you're right.
They vilified
lesbianism or like saying.
Did they?
Yes, they did. I mean, maybe I was just like paying attention to it in the wrong way, but I remember it was like a weird thing. When the daughter, what's her name in the show?
Elena.
When Elena and her best goth friend were like always hanging out with each other.
And she called it queer.
Yeah. Shout out to her.
Well, because I think she was allegedly using queer in the old way it was
weird.
Used, where it's just weird or different or, you know, like, yeah, different, I guess, would be the case.
Yeah, but there was like, there's something going on here.
Right.
There's something going on. And then it turned out, spoiler alert, turned out that she was really hiding at their house because she was undocumented, which is, and then I was like, oh, phew, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But then it turns out at the end, right?
Elena is queer.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the grandmother has to kind of get over it. So
I feel like that was realistic though. Like to actually show like parents going through the like, cause I know for some parents, I mean, a lot of parents didn't accept their kids for just being outright gay and
yeah.
it's something you can see and like they're your kids, you see them every day. So I felt like for me, I related to the whole vilification of lesbian thing because the way I grew up, like it's not that my mom isn't open-minded, but she's open-minded now versus her struggling with accepting it back then. So I feel like I related to that a lot.
I think the reason I didn't see it as vilifying was because the grandma was kind of like making that comment.
Yeah.
And it can definitely be interpreted in the way that you interpreted it.
Yeah.
But she didn't seem angry to me. And I've seen my mom angry about me. You know what I mean? Like I've seen real anger and a real struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like their version of it was very tame, you know what I mean? But they did show the struggle. They showed the grandma like struggling with her religion.
Yeah.
And it was like one single moment and it was because they wanted to concentrate on the mom.
Yeah.
As much like more than the grandma. The grandma was just like, who am I to go against God or whatever?
That was very quick. That was a quick realization.
But I like the logic behind it. So I think that they just wanted to concentrate on the mom's reaction.
Right. That show dealt with a lot.
PTSD. So much.
Okay, PTSD, yes, with the veterans. Okay, and then there's the landlord slash the super,
oh,
who's the white guy,
the Canadian dude. Yeah. He's like, I came into this country illegally.
Oh god.
Who is super cute, by the way, but
he's buff.
Mm. But so that's like a little bit of a white savior thing here and there. Mm. Which,
they try to crush it.
But they crush it.
They try to.
And you know, Elena is woke as fuck. So like she,
that's what I loved about
she
her.
She points everything out. So like whenever you're like, like they actually talk about it on the show. Mm. So they talk about PTSD, like how veterans are treated like shit in this country, which I thought was great. But they kind of, I feel like it was kind of overwhelming, like the topics.
Yeah.
But I also think that it's because we binge watch that shit.
Mm. Yeah.
So like if you were to,
an episode.
Yeah. If you were to, if that aired 10 years ago on TV, I don't think it would have felt so overwhelming.
No.
You know? Yeah, like all the messages in the show.
No, I fuck with it, though.
Like, yeah, the show is bingeable in 6 hours. You can watch a show in 6 hours, and I have.
Yeah. I watched it with my mom, and that was, like, really touching.
That's a great idea.
She told me about that, and I was just like, and I came up to my mom one day, I was like, I want to watch this show with you, and it's in English, but there's Spanish subtitles, and the actual actors, or a lot of the actors, do their own subtitling or dubbing, I should say.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they speak Spanish.
I never tried that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, will you watch it with me someday? And she's just like, yeah. And we just haven't gotten around to it, but she told me about her experience and it's great, so go ahead and do that.
Yeah, so we got drunk one Friday together. Like, I drink with my mom on a regular basis because that's just what you got to do. Got to appreciate your mom.
That's awesome.
Get drunk with her. So we got drunk and started watching One Day at a Time, and I think it really like helped us look at each other, and like it helped me see where she was in accepting my identity, because I legit came out maybe last year.
Yeah.
So it kind of late in life, and for her to kind
what
of
are you,
like
22.
No,
what the 22? Fuck, late in life.
No, I'm like, I think I came out when I was 25.
Okay.
And yeah, it's not late in life, but like, you know what I mean, for me.
Yeah.
For
my gay ass. A lot of people come out earlier.
For my gay ass.
True.
How queer I've been. But no, watching it with her was really good because we both got to like look at each other in the honesty of like, did you accept this? You accept me? It got emotional towards the end when she came out and her father like dipped. Mm,
like, that was so real though.
Oof.
That was so heartbreaking. So real. And then like everybody having her back was amazing.
Like when her mom told her, like she gave her that hug, I was like, mom.
She's like, I got you.
Yeah.
Like I've never had that. So, you know, it's like, that's my fantasy world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've never seen it before.
Have you come out to your mother?
I did. It
was
not
that?
The best way to do it, probably. It
wasn't the best experience.
Yeah. No, it was an okay experience. It was okay. So the day that gay marriage got legalized, I was sitting in an office because I had an office job. And I was stuck in there, and I was like screaming for joy inside.
You were screaming for I was about to say
inside.
Like,
I loved it. I loved that had happened, and I was like practically in tears. Mm. So at this point, like we'd been through so much, and you know, I was like 22 or something like that. I thought she knew at this point,
after,
like because many little things here and there had happened. And I obviously didn't bring a guy home ever.
Right.
So
except for me.
Hey. What's poppin'?
Oh, I brought plenty of gay guys home.
Yeah, she's like, oh, here's another one.
She doesn't even reject it anymore. She's just like, another guy? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on here.
So I texted her. I texted her that day, and I was like, Mom, I can get married now. And she wrote back, because she doesn't really like do the news like that.
Yeah.
She wrote back, she's like, what are you talking about? You're silly. And I was just like, gay marriage got legalized. And she was just like, you know, she wasn't great about it, right? She was like, where did I go wrong?
God.
You know, what did I do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I expected that. I expected a lot of horrible things, quite honestly. What I did not expect was her saying, I still love you.
Oh.
Because she doesn't,
that's
you know,
not
she's not
something she utters.
She doesn't say that.
Did you fucking lose it?
I'm pretty sure I blacked out.
You woke up and your car was like in a tree. Like,
I woke up and I was like on a phone call, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, that was the one thing I never expected from my mom.
Oh my God.
So that was
beautiful.
Yeah, after all the bullshit, like, that was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Then your mom knew already, like, because
she
had already processed it.
Honestly, I think she did. Like,
she was waiting for you to say it, like my mom. Mom was just
Or I think she was hoping I would never say it, but it was going to be like a wall between us.
Yeah.
So I think in the long run, she hasn't gotten there yet, I don't think. But I think in the long run, she will appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she already, like, appreciates you. She just is mourning the death of, like, what she expected.
Her idea, because a lot of moms, even dads, have this expectation of what your life is going to be. So they have to mourn the loss of that
That's future. Where, right.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, that's what One Day at a Time kind of touches upon.
Yeah.
Where she's just like, she's not mad that she's gay, but she's just like, we're never going to whatever gush over boys together.
Yeah.
Which I don't really see why you would want to do that with your daughter. That's but weird.
Yeah, like, that's get over it.
12-year-olds. Yeah. Like, and she did. Thank you.
Right, like it took her, it did take her like 2 days. 2 days to get over it.
I think that's really quick for dope. Like anybody in any time.
Yeah.
Not my mom, the Elena's mom on the show.
No, I'm saying, yeah. We're talking about her still.
Yeah.
Because so. I know, yeah, that's rocky.
That's why I like seeing that show.
Yeah. When I first started watching One Day at a Time, I was secretly hoping the little boy was going to be gay.
I thought he was going to say that too. I know, like, I thought like, they both were going
to
be gay.
So then, when then she turned out to be queer. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I keep saying lesbian.
No, that's, you can say
like
that.
That's like such an old word, right? Lesbian.
We just don't use it a lot, right?
It's got a big negative connotation.
Yeah, for it does.
And it sucks. Right?
Let's talk about that. Why?
I have been trying to figure this out. I even tried to bring it up on our podcast and it didn't really go anywhere, but it shouldn't have a negative connotation.
I mean, but we reject the term itself. Like,
because of that.
Actively
because
just
of
say
that
queer.
Negative connotation. I think that's why I reject it. And I think that it sucks, you know what I mean? Like, the word gay isn't looked down upon as much anymore.
Yeah.
But I think it has something to do with how it's used, because when
and
you say...
And who uses it?
Well, because, like, the word gay is an adjective. The word lesbian is, like, a noun.
Yeah.
It's, like, it takes over your entire identity.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
And queer is the same thing.
It's an adjective, yeah. So that's why I'm, like...
I'm more drawn to the word queer as an identifier.
Yeah.
Now.
Because not everything is black and white, honestly.
True, true.
Everyone's on this little spectrum, this little gauge.
Yeah.
Kinsey scale.
Yeah, because like Ryan Gosling is a handsome ass man, and I can say that as a super gay ass woman.
I think he's ugly. I don't know.
What girl? Girl.
I'm sorry.
Girl, that man is fine.
We fought about this on Sunday.
I know we've talked about this. We always talk about this. We never agree. The dudes she thinks are fine, I never think are fine, so it's okay.
Everyone thinks Jason Momoa is fine.
I don't think he's fine.
Who's that?
Aquaman.
Aquaman.
Oh, Khal Drogo from
Lisa Bonet's husband.
That's what
we're
fine.
I don't think he's that fine to me.
You are crazy.
I don't know, it's his hair or something.
It's the long hair that gets me.
I don't know, he's too buff. I don't know, is that a thing?
Yeah, that is a thing.
Yeah, he's too buff to me. Like,
he's not too buff.
Girl, you can have him. I don't want him.
Like I told you before, all I want to do is hug him.
Honestly, yeah. I just want to hug Ryan Gosling as well.
Okay.
He's man's handsome.
We're straying way too far.
Yeah, really far.
I don't think he's that handsome anymore.
I don't think so either.
Something happened, yeah. But Eva Mendes, though. What up, girl? We'll do it later.
Are they together?
They're married.
I don't know anything. Oh, my God. Okay, so here's a question. Mm-hmm. Who do you remember having your first crush, like your first gay crush?
Yes.
Tell me. Everything.
Because I had no idea I was gay. Like, I didn't know at all. Oh. I was a freshman in high school, and I had zero idea, right? And I was hanging out with a new crowd that was like a more emo crowd, and like for some reason I was just not. I guess obsessed is the wrong word, but like it was like the highlight of my day to see one specific girl every single time. Like it made like me feel things that I'd never felt before in my life. It was crazy. Like I'd never felt these feelings, and I
might
didn't
have
know,
had feelings.
I didn't know how to interpret them, and so one day I was like venting to my friend. I was just like, seeing her is like all I want to do. Like it's the only thing I want to do.
All I want to do, come over here, baby.
Basically.
Okay.
So I told him, and I still didn't know about anything about myself. And then I told him and described to him for like 30 minutes or some shit, and he looks at me, he's like, you're in love with her. And I was just like, no,
what?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's why I remember, because it was literally, it was not only my first crush, but it was when I realized I was gay
in high school.
14 years old, dude.
Freshman year.
I was like,
oh my God.
I was shooketh.
Okay, babelito. Like,
I was out.
I was shooketh.
I was shooketh.
Shooketh. You were late to the game, girl.
Shook it to the core.
Shook it to the core.
How about you?
Oh, my God. I was 7. Okay.
No,
yes.
Tell me everything.
My first
right
love
now.
Her name was Yvette. She was shout out to Yvette. Shout out to Yvette. Wherever you are, girl, you probably got like a baby daddy. I love you though. Anyways, first
playing hard
grade,
to get with a yeah, baby daddy.
I know. I can, girl, call, no, don't call me, but still call me. it was first grade.
You were an old first grader.
I know.
You've been around the block, girl.
I've been around the block. You were ready. All them little boys try to get behind me in line. I wouldn't let them.
They just wanted to get some water. You'd calm down.
What, them little boys?
They was thirsty.
They was thirsty. But her name was Yvette. And she used to have pigtails and she had bangs. And we were both like... When we played house together, I was always the husband, and she was always the wife.
Sure. What the fuck?
Yes, dude, I'm telling you, I knew. I was seven. We were in love. And she even let me hold her hand. We still hold hands in between classes.
Dude, your story is a storyline of that little girl on Gypsy.
Yes. Yeah, because like I legit like thought I was like a boy when I was little too. Like I used to wear shorts and like I wanted to be a chola, so I pulled my socks all the way to my knees and like
I remember you saying that in your podcast.
That was my thing. Yeah, I legit do that. There's pictures of me where my socks all the way up. And
the gayest picture of me ever is like right down there if you want. Like me in overalls.
Where?
As a baby? Yes. Okay, hold on one second. Let's get this picture.
Oh, I see it. It's like
bring it here. Let me describe it.
Oh my god, what the hell?
Oh my god, those eyes.
They used to be blue.
Holy crap.
Right? Doesn't she look like a lesbian?
Oh yeah. Dude, your mom did this to you. She did.
I put on those overalls. I put on a blue hat backwards.
Why does every lesbian have like a picture of them in overalls and a hat?
And you're just eating a rib?
I think it's a chicken leg or a turkey leg.
That's not you. What the hell?
That was the last time I was happy.
Who's this little white baby? Who's this little white baby?
Damn, when was this?
Look at that smile. 1993, probably.
Damn, that was the last month. This is the last time Maite smiled.
Oh my god, it is.
In 1993.
Though.
Can we take a picture of this and put it on our Instagram?
Yes.
Yeah, the last time Maite was happy eating the chicken leg.
I feel nothing right now.
Wearing denim. Was that a denim matching hat? Like, what is that?
Bro. Can't nobody tell me I wasn't born gay, honestly.
Oh my god. Is that Oshkosh? Ooh, you was popping, girl. You had Oshkosh.
I was inspired by Selena.
Okay, please stop. Oh my gosh. Well, ladies, it's been so much fun hanging out with you guys. And this is not going to be the last time we record together. I know that you're moving soon, Maite. So you guys are going to have to do your podcast over the phone. And soon, Babalito and I will figure out how to do that too. So that hopefully one day we can all be together, even if it's digitally.
Yes.
But hopefully you guys come visit us in Vegas together.
Hell yeah. Give me 4 hours away.
Yeah.
Lexicon.
Oh yeah. We can do it. We can do it.
We can do it.
And we'll record together someday.
Si se puede.
Si se puede. So yeah, tell everybody where they could find you guys.
They can find us at CYC Podcast.
Yep, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat.
Yes. Send your hate mail to at CYCPodcastmail@gmail.com.
That's right. And we're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Audio Boom. I think that's like pretty much the main three.
Yeah.
And
individually, where can they find y'all?
They can find me at Fried Papita on Twitter.
Okay.
I usually follow back.
Cool.
Maite Panda. As long as you don't look like a robot.
You'll add them?
Yeah. MYTE Panda, by the way.
MYTE Panda. If you can't spell Papita, then I'm sorry.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for being on Latinos Who Lunch.
Hey,
thank you for having us.
Five stars only.
All right.
Yeah. Shout out to y'all.
Bye.
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 I feel like Maite is the Babelito and Fry Papita is the Fabi.
Sure. I don't know. They're so unique. Those lesbians.
It's so funny. Oh my god, it's so good.
That was such a fun conversation. They're so awesome.
And it was good because you guys touch upon like really good topics.
Yeah.
You know, the intersectional podcasts that are represented by the Latinx podcast out there is what makes us so different from like everything else that is out there. Because we're queer, we're Latinos, we're Spanglish, we're all of these things, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I like that you guys touch upon that. And one day at a time.
One day at a time.
good conversation, man. I'm very jealous.
I know. Mm-hmm. We tried to call you, but you didn't answer the phone.
I like how you said it was all about me and you guys never mentioned my name once.
Oh, shut up. We did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, that chuket. That was all you. Anyway, shout out to Fried Papita and to Maite. You guys are the best. Thank you for being such great hosts. Maite and I actually went. I was so tired. But since I was there for just one night, we ended up going out to all the gay bars.
Y te pusiste hasta el chongo.
Hasta el chuken. No, I was so lame. I was just like, But Maite was having a great time goth dancing by herself.
Like
you know, like goth thing.
Yes, yes, she was doing that. She's so funny. Oh my God. I can't wait to see them in LA.
Oh, they're so funny.
It's going to be fun.
Okay. All right. Well, that was my little trip to Dallas. I hope you guys enjoyed that. And the next few weeks, we're going to bring you a few recordings that I did. Well, Babelito and I both did, mm-hmm. actually, in Austin, Texas. So you're going to hear a lot from Texas in the upcoming episodes, which will be very, very exciting.
I can wait. But also, as we promised before, we're going to start reading your reviews and your emails.
Yes.
And we have a couple of memos. So this is a good opportunity to let you guys know that please send us a voice memo. We had a couple of listeners already do that. And we're going to play them, we promise. So we have a review here from iTunes. Girl.
Okay.
So many good reviews.
Okay.
So touching. If I had a bad day, I just have to le prendo al iTunes.
Okay.
Me meto al Google.
Mira, métete a la computadora, vete al iTunes, súbete al Apple Podcast.
Y ubícate.
Y ubícate.
So this is from Hattie Touchstone.
Okay.
And the review reads as follows. I just figured out how to leave a review. So this is a coming a year late, June 2016, I asked Twitter to recommend me Latinx podcast and was introduced to Latinos Who Lunch. Immediately became my favorite podcast. Fabi and Babelito are so incredibly funny and intelligent. That's right. Listening to this podcast feels like hanging out with my friends. I live in a predominantly white area, so listening to them talk about things that I can actually relate to makes me feel so comfortable. So thankful for this amazing podcast that they put out every week. It's truly a blessing. It makes me feel less alone as a Latina living in an area where I feel like I don't fit in. Thank you for everything, Latinos Who Lunch.
Well, you're welcome, Miss Touchstone.
Hi. Thank you very much, and keep leaving your reviews because they make my day. Just for that reason, alone.
Cool. Yeah. So keep sending those emails, keep reviewing, keep leaving your voice memos. We're going to start playing them every episode, as Babelito mentioned. Okay. Do you have any recommendations, Babelito?
Do I ever.
Okay, dale.
Okay, so this month has been a very interesting month in my life. Okay. And when that happens, I shut down from music. And you know that I never do that.
Was it like something with Saturn and like the moon retrograde?
Everything seems going wrong except for this podcast. So.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, you never know. So.
But anyway, no, and my students, like, God, like, the more I know my students, the more I love doing what I do. But anyway, so because of that, I rarely listen to music.
The microphone's right there.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. So I rarely listen to music, but I'm really attached to this next performer. His name is Moses Sumney.
Oh, yes.
So you and I saw him 2 years ago at Fort Marcosanti. Oh. He sat next to me. I was too nervous to talk to him.
Dude, you were shaking.
I was shaking. I was chuket.
Yes, you were.
And his performance was probably one of the best performances I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so quiet. It was beautiful. But he had never put an album. We saw him the next year, and it was amazing. And finally, three weeks ago, he released his full-length album. It's called Aromanticism. And it's an album by Moses Sumney. Girl,
yeah,
our boy is grown up.
Okay.
It's a beautiful, 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 beautiful album. That is the only album that I'm able to listen to right now.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's self-care. It's everything for me right now. So again, it's Aromanticism by Moses Sumney. And one more.
Mm-hmm.
Our girls, Ibeyi,
Oh, yes.
Yes. They released an amazing, amazing album called Ash. So yeah. I cannot recommend that enough either. And if you don't know who Ibeji is, they're known for... They're this Afro-Cuban French musicians, but they also had... They popped up in the Lemonade video.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So amazing. So again, it's Ash by Ibeji.
Cool. And
that's it.
Great. Awesome. Great recommendations, Babelito.
¿Y tú qué rollo?
Okay, my recommendation mm-hmm. is a podcast that I have probably already recommended before.
I wonder which one it is.
It's called Grizzly Kiki.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Do you listen to that?
Yes, I do. Okay.
Well, you know, the last episode that aired was with our friend Julio Salgado. And we got a little bit of hate about that episode because we were critical of Valentina and we're not allowed to be that.
Oh, that's
we're unprofessional.
Right.
But
I took several seats.
But I love Grizzly Kiki because they don't not only do they interview the drag queens, but mm-hmm. they interview people in the drag world. So there was this episode with this costume designer, just fashion designer in general. Uh-huh. His name is Juan Chavez, and he designs for a lot of the queens.
Including Valentina.
Well, he did design a jumpsuit for Valentina that she wore to DragCon before she got on the show.
Touch this skin, honey.
Bitch.
I gotta listen to that episode.
He spills some tea. Dios. And I'm not going to say anything because, you know, the Valentina Hive is going to come after us.
Mira, yo no digo nada.
Yo nomás me quedo callada. So, but if you want some Valentina truth, listen to Grizzly Kiki, the episode with Juan Chavez. Start listening at around minute 50.
Mírala, lo tienes bien planeado, güey.
And our assumptions, maybe our worries about her, maybe aren't as far-fetched as we thought. That's all I got to say.
I never doubt my opinion.
Shout out to all the Latina drag queens out there.
Shout out.
And can I just say, none of them are on season 3 of All Stars because
exactly.
There's no Latinas on All Stars 3.
There's gotta be more. There's only 9 in the first.
I know.
There's gotta be more.
But I heard that Valentina said no. Valentina said no, Tracy.
Because she's too good, you know.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Whatever.
No. Don't. Why do you say that? See, now some 12-year-old's gonna come for you. Pues que no lo manden,
chingado. De eso pido mi limosna. Chingado.
Grizzly Kiki, subscribe to it. I love that show. Drag Race All Stars 3. Who are you rooting for?
Pues Changela.
Changela,
a
really?
Huevo, wey.
Never.
Le toca.
Really? You think so?
Mm-hmm. She's an all star. She is a fucking all star.
She is a professional.
Yes, right.
But I don't know. Do you think she's really? When you see like RuPaul, Chad Michaels, Alaska, you see Changela right
when
there.
When I think of the big drag queen names, yeah. When I think of the big ones, like Alisa, Changela, Alaska, yeah. They're all in the same field.
You know what? That's true. Changela has never stopped working since mm-hmm. the day she got booted
and
off.
She hasn't stopped getting good. Like, she gets better and better and better and better.
She's a performer.
Like, we've seen
that. Her makeup, mm-hmm. I don't know, but she is a performer.
Her Beyonce.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Undoubtedly.
Mm-hmm.
Simply the best.
Pero, ¿cómo se llama la que se le cayeron las perlas?
Chichi Devane.
Chichi Devane.
I'm so excited to see her.
So she's my... So I want Changela to win for obvious reasons, but really, it's Chichi Devane.
I'm team Chichi. Mm-hmm. I'm team all of them, you know, except for Milk. But I'm team Chichi. And I'm team Trixie, for real. I love Trixie.
Oh, yes,
but they're all great. They're all amazing.
It's gonna be a good season. Yeah. I can't wait.
And we're thinking about doing like Latinos Who Lunch RuPaul's Drag Race viewing parties here in Las Vegas.
So
it's just an idea. We're throwing it out there. If you have a venue,
if you have a bar and you have free drinks,
let us know. Oh my gosh. Okay, Babelito, do you have anything else to say?
Nothing. I'm just ready for another Negra Modelo.
Oh, my drinking on the job here.
You know, at night, I watch my TV. Uh-huh. I drink a beer.
Uh-huh.
Y caigo en un abismo de sueños. That's it. That's it.
Okay. Well, it was really great recording in person with you.
Again.
Uh-huh.
I know we have all these pre-recorded episodes, but like, I just want to keep recording. It's ¿cómo se dice? Mental health for me.
Oh.
It's my safe space.
Okay. And as always, you can email us at latinoswholunch@gmail.com. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars.
5 stars solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And visibility is
essential.
Visibility is a trap.
A trap. It's a precarious thing. Be careful with it.
I'm Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
Bye.